This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries, and powered by the law offices of Pond, Lehocky, Stern, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. It's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and John Dougherty, all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. Good evening, everybody, and welcome into Saturday Night Live in the big chair for John tonight. Longtime business manager of the Philadelphia Building Trades, Pat Gillespie, made the trip up and into the studio. Pat, a good Saturday evening, sir. Thanks for coming into the studio.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. Pat Gillespie will be with us for the next 60 minutes as we come to you live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. J-Doc also in the studio. J-Doc, a good evening, brother.
Fantastic.
You're full, right?
Yeah. Listen, can barely move over.
He's going to take a nap.
Never seen anything like it. For everybody tuning in, you know how we always begin our show. We begin with our meal at our dinner table tonight. And J-Doc always weighs in on how good it is. In honor, J-Doc, of the 143rd running of the Kentucky Derby today, I decided to bring to the dinner table some ribs doused with Kentucky bourbon barbecue sauce. Tell me all about it, brother.
Well, I'll tell you what. unbelievable, Krause. I can say this. The sauce, awesome bite, awesome bite.
A little bit of bite. It's that Kentucky bourbon.
It's still tangy. And very hearty, outstanding.
They weren't equine ribs, though.
The ribs were themselves were tender, juicy, succulent, if
wow.
You will.
Yeah.
Well,
outstanding. Is this the Food Network? Yeah. What is it?
Let's not forget the macaroni and cheese. Ooh. Off the chain.
Off the chain. All compliments of Glicks. Thank you very much. No mint juleps. I didn't want to bring any mint. I didn't want to serve mint juleps in the studio, but a special thanks to Glicks Rib Shack.
Thank you.
With the Kentucky Bourbon Blazing Barbecue Sauce here to kick off the big show tonight on a Saturday night. It's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. I've got a great show lined up for all of our listeners tuning in tonight. Up in the A block, prime block, Congressman Bob Brady will be along and join us. We'll talk with Congressman Brady about his statement following the Thursday House passage of Trump Care. So we'll deal with that in the opening block. Then later on, following Congressman Brady, Congressman Brendan Boyle will weigh in as well. So we've got a good action-packed lineup. We have Glenn on the controls tonight, who's working inside of the studio tonight. Glenn, we have a package in here for you tonight too, brother. So you get to eat and join us as well. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Congressman Bob Brady, who joins us here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Congressman Brady, a good Saturday evening, sir.
Yeah, good Saturday evening to you, too. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Bobby. How you doing, partner?
I'm good, man. I just got done talking to you. I was thinking about you last week, and now I got you on the show.
Yeah.
And Jay Doc, how are you?
I'm good, Congressman. It's great to have you on the show.
I figured you couldn't talk. It sounded like you might have your mouth.
Well, I'll tell you what. Listen.
Bob, you should see. I never saw a human being eat the way he was going to eat the styrofoam case. I was afraid.
Listen, you know, like, when I knew you were on the line, Congressman, you're about the only person in America I would stop that meal for. But I'll tell you what, I'm on hiatus for the next minute.
Congressman Bob Brady joining us here.
Put you on a diet.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Congressman Brady, let me read a quote from your release And then get you to begin and kick off our show and comment on it. This is from Thursday, following the House passage of Trump Care. This afternoon, the House GOP voted to make America sick again, and I was proud to vote against this bill that takes away the basic right of our people to health care. It's a sad, sad day.
It was a sad day. I mean, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that certain people in Congress don't think they're ever going to get sick or they're ever going to need any help. And if they don't care about themselves, they certainly should care about the people that they represent. I mean, 24 million Americans are going to lose their coverage. Over 764,000 just in Pennsylvania, 200,000 in Philadelphia, and 72,000 in my district. You know, they voted for this bill. They didn't even read it, no time to read it, and it didn't get what they call a CBO score. You know, that's our Congressional Budget Office, which is impartial, nonpartisan, and they score a bill to tell them what it's going to cost. And they're the biggest, the Republicans holler more about, you know, we voting on something or trying to put something on the floor without knowing how much it costs. Yet they ran this thing through. I just don't know what the hurry is. You know, I mean, they tried to repeal it 54 times. They had 7 years to do something with it, and then they run it through. And from what I understand, the Senate's not even going to look at it at all, the way this bill's constructed. They're going to maybe do their own bill and start from scratch.
Hey, Bob, for openers, yeah, I just want to thank you for making the stand that you made on this issue. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are right now scared to death about whether they're going to have coverage, not have coverage. So I'm glad that you're italicizing what the Senate said, and hopefully that can give those folks some comfort. You know, you want to think sometimes that, well, politics is one thing, Democrat, Republican, but when it comes to healthcare, like you said, this affects everybody. There's no partisan issue here. I mean, everybody gets sick. The point that I want to make with you is when you make those kinds of stands, people your junior can hear you. You've been down there a while, and I just, you know, you say, well, people can't be that bad. They can't be. Well, you know what? Damn it. Maybe they are. Maybe they are that bad. And maybe we have to start saying that. I don't want to.
It's unbelievable. I don't know what their thought process is. I mean, we got an age tax in there for people that are 50 to 64 pay extra because they're between 50 and 64. They're taking money out of Medicare, you know, the Medicare trust fund. I mean, to try to, you know, lower premiums. I mean, look, I understand that, you know, I understand that people need to make money, but my God, these insurance companies make a whole lot of money, you know, and then they're giving the governors of the states, and I'm sure our governor, well, at least our existing governor, Tom Wolf, hopefully our next governor again for 4 more years, they can opt out of pre-existing conditions. They could tell somebody that, you know, Pat, I know you, we played ball together, you sprained an ankle, I sprained an ankle. Guess what? That's a pre-existing condition. Every woman, because she has the ability or has had a child, is a pre-existing condition.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's totally ridiculous. I can't understand what they're trying to do. We knew that Obamacare, as we call it, and as they call it, the American health care that we call it, too, is it needed some tweaking. There's no question. We were ready to do that. We're ready to work with them and tweak this thing. We had no input, zero input. Our illustrious president, as you well know, had people to the White House, had been making calls on their Tuesday caucus, their Freedom Caucus. He didn't call one Democrat. President Obama had many times, if you remember, had Republicans over to the White House, went and saw them in their conference or their caucus. We call it a caucus. They call it a conference to try to put out an olive branch and then a whole olive tree, you know, to try to work together. This president never even called any one of us.
Nobody.
Congressman, you know? It's ridiculous.
Why the hurry to rush this through? You think it had to do with saving face? And what happened the last time because of the withdrawal?
Well, you know, they pushed it through. They wanted to push. We didn't have the votes the last time. They wanted to push it through because they wanted to get in on 100 days, within this 100 days. I mean, I mean, is that what we're doing? We're just trying to get things done in a hurry so we can have bragging rights.
Right.
And it was a campaign promise, and we're going to hurt 24 million Americans because we want to brag that we did this within 100 days. Well, that fell apart. And then they did it again with some kind of an amendment that said with the pre-existing conditions, then they let the governors opt out. I mean, that's ridiculous. Just to get this done, we would have worked with them. There's not one Democratic congressperson that I know or that I heard that hasn't said, we need to fine-tune the American health care.
Hey, Bob.
But now we got the Trump care. It's ridiculous.
Bob, tell me this. They took money away from Medicaid, which helps the poor people, but wasn't it the same, almost the identical amount that they gave in tax breaks to the 1% to the richest people in the country?
Yes. Could you imagine that?
Now, what the hell is that about? I mean, how can anybody stand by and say this is okay?
It's beyond me. It really is. It's beyond me. And to hear their arguments are totally ridiculous. You can watch that debate. I mean, just like you said, they give tax breaks to people that really don't need them. I mean, come on. I wish I was in that category. I wish all my friends, all you included, were in that category. And if we were in that category, knowing you, Pat, and knowing JD, we would give it back.
Absolutely.
You know, hey, I don't need all this. Let's help some people. Let's put our hand back and help some people, friends of ours that aren't in that category. And exactly right. They took that money away from the Medicaid that is aid people, and they end up increasing their own pockets.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. As you well know, we were singing a song, goodbye, waving goodbye to them. And, if the American people don't wake up on something like this here, I mean, you're going to hear people getting sick. You're going to hear people not getting coverage. And God forbid, three times, people dying because they couldn't get the right proper coverage and the right care. And that's not what America's about. I mean, it don't make any sense to me at all.
Congressman Bob Brady checking in here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor as we broadcast you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Congressman Brady, before I let you go, if I can just switch gears with you for just a quick second and get you perhaps just to size up the DA's race, which is coming up on the primary on the 15th. Who do you like?
Well, we kept it open. There's just seven people running, and everybody has a favorite son or daughter. There's a lady in a race. And we just, whoever it is, look, hope it's somebody. They're all qualified. They're all saying the right things. They're not getting negative yet. And I say the word yet because I understand that the Zoris millionaire, I don't know what the DA race in the city of Philadelphia is going to affect his life,
right,
is got into the race by putting a million point some dollars into it. I just hope that they're positive commercials, not negative commercials. And so far they have been positive. And we'll see whoever wins. They're all qualified, and I think we'll have a good DA.
Congressman Bob Brady checking in here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. We end the segment with your quote, sir. It's a sad day. His comment from Thursday on the House passage of Trump care. Congressman, thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Bob.
It.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pat. And JD, when you get to the white part, that's the plague, man. See y'all.
Still a ways to go.
Thanks, Bob.
Good stuff. That's
bye-bye.
Congressman Bob Brady joining us here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and John Dougherty, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. Also powered by Pond Lahaki, Stern Giordano, Unmistakable, the workers' compensation law firm, and also fueled by our growing listening audience here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're going to take our first commercial break of the big show. When we come back, Congressman Brendan Boyle will join us back in a moment.
Original news stories, podcasts, columns from your favorite hosts, and more. Interact 24/7 at facebook.com/1210WPHT.
I won't participate on behalf of ourselves here at Local 98 or the Philadelphia Building Trades in conversations that are purely dominated on social issues that don't affect our jobs.
And back on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and John Dougherty, Pat Gillespie in the studio in the big show tonight here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, coming up at 8 o'clock following Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, the Dan Loney Show.
Yeah, in our fourth segment, we have Sam Pond, who's going to be on the show, and we're going to talk about House Bill 18, and also his upcoming injured worker special, An Hour with Sam Pond. So that's cool. And we also have our Injured and Afraid special coming up. It's a soup to nuts discussion about the medical process and the aftermath of an injury at work. So really good stuff coming up, not only with Sam at the end of tonight's show, but in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, two good 1 hour specials produced by Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor that are going to follow over the next couple of weeks. The week of the 20th and then the week of the 27th, we'll have two special 60-minute shows right in our time slot here on Saturday night from 7 to 8 on Saturday Night Live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But it's going to give us a chance, J-Doc, to almost zero in our focus, to cut 60 minutes out of our time and zero in on two very important topics.
Well, Weinerman Pain and Wellness is the feature in our Injured and Afraid segment and our special. It's and like you said, it's 60 minutes dedicated to the aftermath and the process of a work injury in the medical sense. And then, of course, our Injured Worker special with Sam Pond, An Hour with Sam Pond, talks about the entire legal process and introduces you to Pond the Hockey, the whole deal. It's an amazing segment, or two amazing shows we're going to have.
Pat Gillespie joining or sitting in for John Dougherty. And I, Pat, you heard Congressman Brady during our opening segment talk about what's going to happen next. I don't know what the answer actually is going to be when that bill gets to the Senate. Is the bill that was passed even going to be reviewed the way it was passed?
You know, one of the tragedies here, and it really is a tragedy, is that people have been trying to get their arms around this healthcare issue for about 50 years. Okay, it's been that long. It's a very, very difficult thing to do because everybody has a stake in it and everybody has an opinion about it. And the way it usually gets set up is you have the three entities, the providers, the insurance companies, and the doctors. They at one time or another become the villains on the issue. Rather than looking for solutions around the issue, they pick villains. Obama was able to move the ball because he was new. He didn't have a lot of baggage, and he spent all his political capital, quite frankly, in getting that done. And it was quite a yeoman's effort. And knowing that it had to get tweaked, as Bobby said, as the Congressman Brady said, they knew passing it that there were going to be improvements. By the way, Social Security has the last great social experiment that we had in this country was Social Security, and there was the same kind of outrage by the same kind of people. By the way, the Republicans never wanted Social Security either. They really never want to help the proletariat. And I guess I shouldn't use that term proletariat because people think you're a socialist, but there's nothing wrong with being a socialist in a capitalistic country because somebody's got to protect the people who work for a living. Somebody's got to protect us. And it seems that the special interests are just blind by this. But to have this issue now become a partisan issue from a president who has no accomplishments whatsoever to now saying, look what I've done. I've taken $850 billion away from the poor and given it back to the rich. I mean, that's pretty much what they're saying. That's, in effect, what they're trying to do. And it just comes down to, and they keep pointing, well, the rates were going up and the premiums were going sky high, and Obamacare had some flaws.
Yes.
But it had 15 million more people covered under insurance. Now, here's what we didn't have before Obamacare. We had premiums going up and costs going up, and we weren't able to sustain it. There were so awful lot of strikes. People seem to forget. A lot of people had to go on strike with their employer to get their more money into their health care funds because they were going empty. All right. So it was a critical issue in our community, and everybody wants to whistle past that graveyard. Oh, like the good old days was hunky-dory. Now, I don't know whether it was a matter of race or whether it was a matter of special interest or what, that the Republicans grabbed a hold of the health care issue and just called it Obamacare and just ran with it. And when you would ask them a question, like good congresspeople, I mean, I was glad to see the Republicans in this community
voted against it.
Yeah, were against it. And I was happy to see it. At least they're sane. But some of these right-wing folks, they just don't think. They think they're never going to get sick. It's not going to happen to them. Or their children won't have an opiate addiction. You know.
I mean, the amazing thing to me, Pat, is the overwhelming thought that the majority of these congressmen that voted on this did not read the bill. And it wasn't vetted properly. And, you know, I get it. You know, a couple of weeks back, they pulled the thing because it was such a disaster.
Joe, but let me stop you there, because those kinds of arguments, we're falling into a Democrat-Republican arena, and you have to take it out of there. Because quite honestly, if you remember what Nancy Pelosi said when they passed it, we'll read it after we pass it. It's a complicated issue. It is very, very complicated. You know, you can have a member of a union, an iron worker or a young guy, and his wife has a baby, and the baby needs special neonatal care.
Sure.
That's $1 million bill. That's $1 million just starting out. And you get five or six of those, all of a sudden your health care fund doesn't have any money. All right. So these are issues that we have to get our hands around, and it's real, real serious. And, you know, the only way a working man in this country could go bankrupt is health care. That's the only way.
Well, hopefully this, like Congressman Brady said, this will not even get introduced, or even, you know, it won't come to a vote even in the Senate. So
yeah, I would hope to see that the Senate, they claim they're always a more deliberative body, and I guess thank God for that now. But you know, I hope they approach this not from a partisan point of view, but from the point of view of fixing the Affordable Care Act where it needs to be fixed.
I agree with that 100%.
It's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and John Dougherty as we roll on here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll take our second commercial break of the big show. When we come back, Councilman-at-Large Bill Greenlee will join us. We'll deal with a workers' right issue when we come back.
I believe there's room, okay, for the national building trades, the local building trades that have partnerships with the Trump administration as it pertains to energy, as it pertains to infrastructure, as it pertains to the undocumented worker.
You gonna sing along, J-Doc?
Yeah, you don't want me singing, Joe. Trust me when I tell you.
In honor of the 143rd running of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs today, we enjoy some Kentucky bourbon-laced ribs with a tangy sauce, and J-Doc gives it, perhaps, J-Doc, the biggest endorsement you've ever provided since we came on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
He ate the box.
Well, thank God Congressman Brady said, when you get to that white thing, that's the plate.
That's
so
the
That's
the styrofoam. So yep. Good stuff here on a Saturday night as we come to you live. We're presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. Councilman-at-Large Bill Greenlee is on the hotline, and he joins us here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and Pat Gillespie, J. Doc, and Krause on a Saturday night. Bill, a good Saturday evening, sir.
Evening, guys. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you, Councilman, and I want to touch base. Obviously, we're going to talk about the legislation you know, that you proposed to prevent companies from asking job applicants for their salary histories. You know, which they use often to pay women less for the same work as their male counterparts. First, give us a little status update there.
Well, right now it passed City Council unanimously. The Chamber of Commerce, after that, after really not pushing against the bill while we were deliberating, then threatened to file a lawsuit. Mayor and the administration did due diligence, felt that it was certainly a legal bill. The mayor signed it. And the chamber did follow through on their threat, and they have filed a lawsuit. And right now, the two sides are putting in their briefs, and we'll see where it goes. The law department's very confident that we could win this lawsuit. And to say I'm disappointed that the chamber, and it seems like particularly backed by Comcast, would sue the city on something like this. It's you know, where we're trying to make sure people are paid fairly. It's disappointing to say the least.
Bill, did Comcast have a position on this?
They did. Comcast has, Although, again, they did not come out before the bill, but afterwards they have been pushing hard against it. In fact, the law firm that it has filed the lawsuit is a law firm that has numerous times represented Comcast. And you know, David Cohen has been a very vocal opponent of this bill.
Well, to give the devil his due, David Cohen is, from the building trades perspective, is one of the heroes of Philadelphia. So, and I always want to try to be defensive. Now, to what end? What's the societal benefit of this protection that you're putting out there?
I mean, if I were
going up for a job and, you know, well, how much did you make your last job? I'd rather embellish it high.
So, well, you know. I guess that the idea is that since particularly women, this is geared towards, have been historically paid less. If a person is asked for their past salary history and that the employer bases the salary offer on that past history, it kind of keeps the inequity going.
Do you think we could get some kind of ordinance that would say that a salary range of from 100 to 200 is for this particular work? I mean, can we as a government come out with those kinds? Because this kind of protection, it sounds like you're leaving it up. It gets real gray in there. I mean, a person's coming in, they want a job. Their shoes are shined. They're on the top of their game with the interviews and whatnot, and filling out the interview. So they want to do everything. It sounds like we're putting an awful lot of pressure on them. Where if we had statutes that said, if this job pays a man $100,000, it has to pay a woman $100,000.
Well, see, I think actually that's making it more complicated. This is actually, in my opinion, a very simple law. You just can't ask one question. It doesn't stop negotiations back and forth. It doesn't stop, obviously, anybody from an interview. Nothing like that. It's just, as we see it, starting everybody out on an equal basis and not basing it, basing your salary offer on something that could, and you know, in historically has been inequitable to certain people.
Now, you're talking about issues of equality during this day and age is still mind-boggling. But job classification is also an area where women have taken a real beating, where they have women doing the same job as a man, but they don't classify it. So for example, an office manager, the woman may be calling her a secretary, but she's doing all the office management type stuff. What can you do? In other, like Pat said, that to kind of even the scales in the area of just building up the classification of the job they're going for.
Well, again, I think that would. I mean, certainly we're looking into anything that's possible to try to make everything fair. I think what we're looking at with this bill is just a start. You know, I mean, people have said for years that they've agreed that there's a wage inequity between men and women, but there really hasn't been any effort to try to do anything to address the issue. This, actually, the first bill was put in in Massachusetts. New York City has now passed this legislation. We feel that this is at least a start.
And Bill, could I interrupt you for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Boston and in New York, when this thing was passed and enacted, now the hordes of hell wasn't visited upon commerce there. I mean, their wheels didn't stop turning, did they?
No.
Okay. So.
And by the way, it wasn't just Boston; it was the whole state of Massachusetts.
No, but I'm just comparing cities. You know, just for listeners' perspective, and yet our folks here are saying that this is a burden on us. Oh, this is terrible. And then they go out and hire a pretty well-established law firm, probably have to pay them a whole lot. At least I hope they bring women in to earn money. I hope the women are the litigators in this.
And you know, and Councilman, the real thing is this. You know, why would they fight so hard against it? That's something that, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not on to something, why would they fight so hard?
I'm asking the same question. You know, and interestingly enough, in Massachusetts, the Chamber of Commerce of Massachusetts not only did not oppose the bill, they supported it because they thought it was fair.
And look how unenlightened they are up there. Their fans are throwbacks to the 50s, for God's sake. You know? So even in dim-witted Massachusetts, they allow this.
Councilman at Large Bill Greenlee joining us here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. Bill, what do you do if the law would get overturned?
Well, I guess we have to go back to the drawing board and see either how we can, you know, depending on what the decision is. And we're still thinking positive, by the way.
All right. Well, Bill, let me ask you the opposite question.
Yeah.
When your bill is sustained, will there be any way that the city can recoup from the chamber the legal expenses for such a frivolous effort?
Well, I guess I'd have to leave that up to the lawyers.
Poke them.
How do you argue that?
But make them pay. You know.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, obviously. And by the way, they're trying to make us pay because part of the lawsuit is to get their lawyer's fees paid if they win. So, and that really
bothers
us.
Yeah, you got to love America, you know?
Yeah, that really bothers us because despite what, you know, some people say, we think we're not, you know, anti-business here. And we have passed some legislation that has helped business.
Well, you just have to watch they don't change the venue to Philadelphia, Mississippi. You
know, yeah, I know. Really.
Were you expecting this, Councilman?
No, you know, really, I really wasn't. I know they threatened it. Well, first of all, while the bill was being discussed, there was very little opposition, and that's the thing that really threw us for a loop. The chamber put in a very, very, I would say, lukewarm letter of concern. I wouldn't even call it opposition, concern. And we thought we addressed at least some of those concerns in the legislation, just a little bit of wording thing. And they didn't. They never appeared at the hearing. There was no opposition verbally at the hearing. No effort to stop to oppose it, right before we voted. But after it passed unanimously, then all hell broke loose. All of a sudden, they were so concerned that this was the worst thing that ever happened to businesses. It's very strange. It's very strange that. But even then, we thought that they were bluffing when they said about a lawsuit. But I guess to give them some credit, they didn't. They weren't bluffing on that. They did. I don't get the lawsuit.
I don't understand the chamber. What's the benefit? Why is the chamber the lead? I don't understand that.
They represent business.
I guess you'd have to ask them.
Listen, I was going to say don't question your opponent's motives when you're getting into a fight. Yeah,
yeah I guess.
Let
yeah.
us do that.
I mean, it is shocking. Right. I mean, then they're going to sue the city of Philadelphia for legal expenses. You'd think that they would have engaged in discussions ahead of time, so you could, you know, obviously, if there were
would it be a safe assumption to assume that the chamber and the city work hand in hand on most?
Well, listen, I always thought they did on our stuff.
That's
we always got killed
they
by
do.
Them.
That's
yeah.
why I'm
they,
so confused
yeah.
by it.
And well,
we can never get anything built in this town. It was always the chamber didn't want it here, the chamber didn't
right.
want it there.
Right. Well, I'll join you in the confusion because I don't understand it either.
Well, Councilman, we want to thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. And certainly we'll be getting back to you with some updates.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate you being on the show. That's Councilman Bill Greenlee.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good stuff, Bill, here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and John Dougherty, Pat Gillespie. Holding down the big chair tonight. We're presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. We're powered by Pond, Lahaki, Stern, Giordano, Unmistakable. The workers' compensation law firm.
Talking about what you're talking about. Talk Radio 1210.
WPHT.
Watch my lead. Back on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and John Dougherty, Pat Gillespie. In the big chair, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries, powered by Pond, Lahaki, Stern, Giordano, Unmistakable, the workers' compensation law firm, live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and Sam Pond checking in and joining us tonight here on Talk Radio 1210. Sam, a good Saturday evening, sir.
Pat and John, always a pleasure.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you?
I'm retired, enjoying my retirement and my pension. And you have to allow me this privilege to say some nice things about you, because your firm is one of the stalwarts in helping a lot of building trades people. And the listening audience has got to appreciate what litigators like yourselves do, because you're always under attack. And when Republican and right-wing thinking and ill-thinking people start talking about tort reform, what in fact they're talking about is taking the right of recourse, the constitutional right of recourse, away from people who work for a living. Now, that has happened to us time and time again. The whole worker compensation issue was of that, to make it more convenient and easier and to provide services to those who got injured. They created this. But we lost our right to legal recourse. So I get worried in these times of Republican reactionaries when they start saying, well, the cure to everything is Shakespearean, what Shakespeare wanted to do with all the lawyers. I disagree with that. We need lawyers, and we need good, sound lawyers like Sam Pond, my man.
Well, Pat, I take it as the highest honor that Pat Gillespie would give us that those accolades and that endorsement. But I think the bigger accolade and the bigger endorsement is for the civil justice system that we have. And once we close the courthouse door and take away that branch of government, we really do lose recourse for the weak against the strong. And that's the great equalizer. We can have all the regulation, and regulation is great because we understand that that's also a difference maker. But we really need the courthouse open, whether it's a workers' compensation court, and that's the court we're stuck with when you get injured on the job because you gave up a constitutional right in 1915, and that was really industry's idea, not labor's idea. But the courthouse is a great equalizer, and when we do have great verdicts in the courtroom, it gets industry's attention, and it has them change behavior. Whether it's the McDonald's coffee case where a woman of age was injured going into a shop, and McDonald's knew that they were burning people throughout the country, but they figured that they continued to burn them and not change their coffee makers because it was the liability to pay people to get burnt and scorched and get hospitalized and possibly ruin their lives was less expensive.
Same on the
Pinto case. And I don't want to get too far afield, but you know, Pat triggered something, and that's a message that has to resonate with your audience, and people have to understand that. But the courtroom gives us the level playing field.
Now we're talking, and on that, you know, level, we're talking about House Bill 18, new legislation. It, again, threatens rights of injured workers to fight for their rights.
Yeah, it does, and there's really no reason for it. You know, the system works well since the changes in the 90s. It took away in 93, some of the medical for injured workers, and industry had an argument there, and we were good policymakers, and we understood that.
So, Sam, let me stop you 1 minute. So, you think the motive behind this issue is some lobbyist going to some legislator saying we have to reform this more, we have to take more rights away from people?
Yeah, Pat, you're politically adroit. You know that, and that's exactly what's happening because he's taken it from the insurance industry. And, you know, we hear about insurance fraud, and it's insurance fraud. It's got the right title because it's about insurance companies making, you know, committing fraud. The real difference maker here is greed. It's a 1% more on the float.
Right on the nail. Way to go. That's why you're such a good trial lawyer. Man.
Instead of more of a 5% return and people knocking each other over to write insurance and workers' compensation insurance, in the Commonwealth since 96, they want another point. They want a 6-point return on that investment at the expense of many people, not only the injured worker, which is the most important, and the lives of injured workers. We have billboards all around. The billboards say work injuries hurt entire families. That's what we see from our clients and their families' experiences.
Let me finish.
Okay. The other point of this is it's also going to take from labor. Going to take from their health and welfare funds because labor is going to pick up the bill because their members aren't going to be able to get medical attention. They're going to go to the health and welfare fund, and there's not going to be any recourse.
And it's also going to affect commerce. It's also going to affect industry because, you know, when my CFO comes in every year for our 230 employees, he says, well, you know, the medical insurance bill went up 20%. And I said, well, we're going to have to deal with it. Our comp insurance doesn't go up. So industry is going to pay for the medical. And the third party that's going to pay for it are the citizens of our Commonwealth, because that's going to be the last resort, whether it's Medicaid, whether it's welfare, whatever. Everyone else is going to pick up the bill, and the insurance industry is going to make another 1 point, another basis point on their investment on the float.
Well, and that's to make sure their handicaps at golf are still low, you know.
Right. Sam, go ahead, Joe.
Sam Pond joining us here on Saturday Night Live. Jay Doc, quickly, I want to give you a chance to talk about the special we have coming up
right,
with Sam Pond.
We're going to really delve into these topics in a couple of weeks when we have our injured workers, Philly Labor Injured Workers, a special show, an hour with Sam Pond. We're going to talk about all those issues. Excited about that, Sam.
I'm very excited, and if I have Pat Gillespie on, I'm going to need 2 hours because he's going to charge me up.
I'll bring him into the pre-show.
Yeah, it's hard to get me up from the shore. I got to tell you.
Pat and I are going to get an alleyway. We're going to take care of everybody. But, you know, the bottom line is we're looking forward to that segment so we can talk about House Bill 18 in more depth, and we're going to be talking about. Other issues in regard to workers' rights, and also the effect it's going to have if House Bill 18 passes, and also getting people energized, getting people to have a little bit of a civics course, getting people off. You know, when we were around, and you know, Pat and Joe, we sat around on the stoop, and we had a political discourse. It has to be more of that.
Sam Pond special. On May 20th, Saturday night, with a Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor with Sam Pond from 7 to 8 p.m. Sam, thank you very much, my friend. Well done. We'll see you on the 20th.
Talk to you, Sam. Thanks a lot.
That's good stuff from Sam Pond. Again, it's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor and John Docherty. Special thanks to Pat Gillespie for sitting in for John this evening. On behalf of J-Doc, on behalf of Glenn and Tony, our producer in the studio, I'm Joe Krause. We'll see you next time.
I seen that open space. I hope you're saving that for medical marijuana because I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of that, and I just want to let you know. We're talking big numbers. We're talking, as you know, they're talking trillions, but we're talking mucho billions around here of unionized pension money. I haven't heard in 6 weeks one conversation about Russia yet. That's the reality. They come to me about jobs. They come to me a little bit about Obamacare, but they don't come to me about Russia. And with Philadelphia jumping out of the seams as a hospitality town, we need our transportation to be clean. Clean, efficient, safe, and on time.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.